Hiya, darlings. This is Hollow Life English F. It's still this diva, the one and only nurse, Ravencroft. Good morning. I'm awake, barely, but alas, I am awake. Admittedly, I don't want to be awake. I'll tell you why. And I will tell this story again on stream when I do stream. But so I went to bed at a reasonable time. But guess who didn't feel like sleeping? Little baby and little darling. They felt like playing. They felt like jumping up on my bed, attacking each other, and then jumping on the floor and running to the living room. And then running back and doing it all again, jumping up on the bed, fighting on top of me, who was trying to sleep. And don't get me wrong, I've had a cat for a long time now. I've had a lot of cats, honestly, because of Little Lady and Little Man. I know they get the night zoomies, you know? I know that's a thing that cats get, but they did not care. I was trying to sleep. They're just running amok, acting all crazy. Which, again, is fine. I didn't have an issue with the fact that they wanted to play. It's good for them. But was like, oh, you know, they started at like 11 p.m. I was like, they'll tire themselves out. So I'll just let them keep running and they'll tire themselves out. That didn't happen. I think it was like 2 a.m. 2 a.m. was the point where I realized that wasn't going to be the way that things worked. I was really exhausted at that point, obviously, as you can imagine. So I got up. I found little baby. So what I do is, I was also a little nerve-wracked because little baby, usually they might make like some small vocalizations while they're play fighting. But it's not too much. So but little baby especially was starting to make like a lot of like noises while they're playing. So I was like, I don't want this to evolve into a not play fighting because I kind of feel like it is going to. Like, obviously, it's fine if cats make vocalizations while playing as long as it's not like hissing and like growling. But I don't know. I just wanted to make sure because they're still. I mean, they've been. He's. How long has he been here? Like a few weeks? They're already getting along splendidly, but I want to avoid because if cats' relationships sour too early on, it can be really, really hard to get them to be friendly. No claws. There were no claws out. I've also recently clipped all their claws, so they're fine. So just to be safe, I separated them also so I could get some sleep. And guess what? Both of them immediate quiet, immediately just laid down. And I was like, wow. For some reason, this pisses me off. Can you take a nap later today? I don't nap well. I only know how to like sleep. If I fall asleep, it's not like, oh, let me just quick sleep for 30 minutes. Let me just take an hour nap. It's a, okay, I'm now going to be out for at least 4 hours. And then there's a high chance my body will forcibly wake me up, but that's beside the point. Oh. Oh. They were doing it just to mess with you. I would believe it. I'd believe it. Quick nap 4 hours earlier. See, the thing is, the more I already have issues sleeping at night, if I start napping during the day, it's going to make it so I can't sleep at all during the night. My interview was a great read. Thank you. I appreciate that you read it. Will you get for breakfast? So, we have two breakfast options today, Jailbirds. We have. I can either cook breakfast, in which I have two eggs in the fridge, and I have some Japanese bacon, which it's not good. I'll be honest, it's not great, but it'll do. One sec. Is she live? I can't hear her. It's because I'm on, what is this place called? I'm on X. I'm on Twitter, whatever it's called. Let me type that. I'm gonna pin it. Pin message. Just do they know? Do they know? Do they know? Yeah, they're both eating well, they're both doing well. What's the difference between Japanese bacon and regular bacon? I don't know how to explain it, but they're not the same. They're not the same. They're different, and it's like they cook differently. They cook very, very differently. And the taste is all off. Yeah, the taste and texture. It feels more like really, really, really thinly cut Canadian bacon. Is often processed, pre-cooked, and has a ham-like consistency, making it less crispy than Western. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so I'm doing my best. But I have some Japanese bacon and I have eggs. Or I have my favorite pasta meal from the supermarket. And I probably should eat that because the bacon and the egg will be good tomorrow too. But the pasta will not be good tomorrow. Or it'll probably still be good for another few days, but the pasta is meant to be eaten like within the few days of when of which it is bought, if that makes sense. Mentaiko, I don't like mentaiko. It's just regular bolognese. Pasta sounds good then? Okay, I'll do pasta. It's bolognese, and it's got like cheese on it. It's just they call it bolognese, but it's just red sauce with some meat, which maybe is bolognese, but I don't know why. When I that sounds just like spaghetti to me. How my family makes spaghetti. I'm not making carbonara. I don't have the kind of pasta for it, but. I also feel like, doesn't that have to be white sauce? I feel like it has to be white sauce. And no, not from 7-Eleven. I got it from the actual supermarket. That's bolognese. Why is it called bolognese? Why does it have such a fancy name? I always just call it spaghetti. Spaghetti bolognese is basically spaghetti with meat sauce. What the hell? I'm so angry. That's so awful. That's so fucking rude. Just need cheese, egg, and pasta water for a carbonara. No, I'm not making carbonara. I don't want it. I don't want it. So don't tell me to make it again. I need to get out of bed, but I am so exhausted. I mean, I went out and I spent some time with friends yesterday, so that was fun. But so because of that, even though I didn't get back super late, I'm tired. Because I already told you why I couldn't sleep very well. Is your wrist all right? Yeah, I've been sleeping with my casts. So my wrist is always going to be a bit fucked no matter what I do. But it feels okay right now. Now that you've drawn attention to it, now I keep turning it, but it's fine. I'm doing everything I can do to try and wake up. So I have to sleep with the room cool, or else I get too hot when I'm sleeping. And I sleep naked, so I got up already temporarily. I turned my heater on in the room to start getting it warm. So instead of me warming up my body, the room is warm, so I feel more comfortable getting up. Then I also want to wash my sheets today. It's that day of the week. It's that day of the week. Cats must love the heater. No, surprisingly not. I feel like, so what I usually do is during the day, I have my room is used exclusively basically for dressing and for sleep. So because my room is only used for those things, all day long, I leave the room dark, I leave the curtains drawn, and I have the heater on. So I only have two heaters. So usually I'll have one of them on since it's starting to get a little bit colder. So I'll turn on the heater so the room is pleasantly warm all day. I also have a humidifier, but I don't leave it on all the time. In fact, it's time to turn it off. But I don't leave it on all day by any stretch of the imagination. Pretty much only when I'm in the room. But so the humidity in here is probably higher. Oh, here comes little baby. Hello. He does this thing where if I'm not paying attention to him and I'm on my phone, he'll like sometimes like rub his face against it to get to my hands. I should get out of bed. I don't want to. I have nice pillowcases that are like the envelope ones. So they actually do a whole fold around and there's no open part of the pillow, and I love it so much. If you ever need to get new pillowcases, it'll change your life. Highly recommend getting proper, oops. Getting proper envelope cases. Oh, hi, baby. Hi, my darling. Hello. Hello. Hello, my love. Oh, so sweet. Sorry, little darling came over. Oh, yes. Yes, what a good boy. Envelope style. Yeah, I think they're called envelope style because they basically kind of fold over like an envelope. But they make my nice really life. They make my life really nice because I think
One of the most annoying things for me is when my pillowcase starts coming off. And I just like, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do about this? How do I stop this from happening? So everyone, if you want to improve your lifestyle, get envelope style pillowcases. Your pillow will always look great from the front because it'll always be completely covered. But they are a little bit of a pain to get on sometimes. I will not lie about that. Pillow is temporarily off the bed and on the floor. See. I do have one that isn't an envelope style, but that's because it literally doesn't come in a non-envelope in an envelope style. But it also doesn't fit the pillow I have it on, so it's fine. But it's like a silk on one side, and then the other side is what's it called? The other side is linen, so it's really nice. It's a really nice situation to be in for me. There we go. Just gonna zip up the pillowcases. I don't know if it's actually better to have pillowcases unzipped when you're cleaning them, but for some reason, my instincts always tell me to not do that. Okay. See, this is why I have to do a Twitter space. Because as nice as it would be to wake up in the morning and like go on stream, I can't share these moments with you because I can't. YouTube, to my knowledge, doesn't really have a good way to like for VTubers to stream from your phone. You know what I'm saying? There's like not really a way yet to do it effectively. So this is going to have to do. Yeah, this is, and not maybe not ASMR, but it is definitely getting out of bed aesthetic. Waking up in the morning, gotta make breakfast and do my sheets and clean them. Gotta get dressed because I sleep naked. So of course I've got to put clothes on to start my day, else I won't get anywhere. Okay, so I'll wash the big sheets after. So for now, I'll just do the sheets. The hell? I almost lost one of the pillowcases. I didn't realize I didn't throw it in already. Okay. We've got my sheets. Let's go put them in. My cats want to know what the heck I'm doing. They're very confused. That's okay. Hey, you get out from under the washing machine, little boy? You get out of there, please? I have to start it. I have to start it. You're gonna get wet or something. It's not safe. You get out of there, please? My cat's tormenting me. They really love hiding under the washing machine during the most inconvenient times when I do not want them there. It's okay. He got out.
They're just curious about what I'm doing, so I understand. I'm not upset. Okay. Now, it's time to heat up my pasta. Okay. Minutes and 30 seconds sounds good. And then while I'm doing that, I can refill my cat's food bowls. So I'm gonna grab those and do that. Oh, I need a vacuum real quick too. Because right now it currently looks like there's a lot of hair build up right under where I usually have the food bowls. So one issue I'm having with little babies is he much prefers the regular adult food to his own baby food, which has not been great for me. So all day long, they both have their own food bowls where they have, they're fed a whole package once a day of wet food, which I find interesting because I have very nice cats, but every breeder I've gotten them from two different breeders at this point, right? Both of the breeders were like, you don't have to feed them wet food, so don't worry about it. Maybe sometimes if you really want to, but you don't have to. And I'm like, what do you mean I don't have to feed them wet food? What are you talking about? Why am I covering so much cat hair? Where did it all come from? Anyway, let me quick put this on the ground and go grab the other one. Wait here for me. Okay, I got the other one. So, but for whatever reason, little baby really does not seem to like his dry food. But the thing is, he's still a kitten, yeah? So kittens actually need to have kitten food because of the fact that they're tiny and they're growing and they need more calories than like an adult grown cat. So I offer him free food. He gets wet food once a day, and I'm really good about making sure his food, like, is about half full, but I'm going to top it up because I'm worried about him. I also give them cat grass once with their wet food once a day to make sure that they're, not dying. Okay, cat grass is on. Okay, my food's also done. That's great. Does he get treats? I've tried to give him treats, but he doesn't understand the concept of wet treats. Not as in, like, he doesn't know how to eat them, but he doesn't understand that they're food. So he won't eat them, period. He sniffs it and then walks away, which is my experience with my cats when I show them my food. They will just proceed to sniff it. You're like, that's not interesting, and then leave. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with it? And he's like, what is this? Why would I have any interest in this, mother? Get it away! Hey, wait, one sec, I gotta put their food on the ground.
There you go. I'm already.
Go get it.
Little baby, come here. Little baby.
Okay, so now they have their food. Are their bowls huge? I mean, I'd say they're a good size. They get a good amount of wet food. You definitely don't ever need to worry if my kids are hungry. They are fed quite lavishly. No meowing, that's impressive. They're pretty quiet. Okay. Let's check on the pasta.
The bolognese.
Gonna give it a mix, mix, mix. Yep, that's pasta. See, sometimes I'm just craving pasta. And I actually have the ingredients to make pasta if I wanted to. But the issue is I couldn't find ground beef. And I know I can probably just use any kind of ground meat, but I'm too American, you know? I'm too American. I'm used to having it a certain way. So because I can't find what I feel like is the right thing, I'm like, well, I'm just going to buy it from the store then. I will just buy it from the store, if that is the case. But I do have shitty store-bought Parmesan that you sprinkle on top, and that makes me very much think of home. So it's awesome. Now, comfort food needs to taste like home, so... Because I don't eat pasta and meat sauce for fun. Think I eat this shit for fun? No, that's not it. Hello? Why are my cats doing this? They've realized that their food is served. Little darling is not eating it. Instead, he is looking at the dry food of little baby and watching little baby eat. I think he wants to steal his food because it's higher in calorie and he's a fat ass. I love my little fat boy. A little fat boy. Oops. The Parmesan came out in a clump, and so I tried to pick it up, and I smashed it on the table. Well, I'm creating more work for myself, because now I'm going to have to clean that up. The way life works out sometimes, you guys, is just so silly. Try to do everything right. Still fail. That's just how it is. Hi, chubby little darling. I think he's actually pretty normal. Hey! Get away from there! You chubby little... You have food right here, little boy. You don't need to eat the littler boy's food. Eat your own. Yeah, little darling is a foodie fiend. He got it from me, as I'm his mother, and I'm also a foodie, so I understand where he's coming from. I get it, but he can't eat his brother's food like that. Do you have garlic bread? No, where would I get garlic bread from in Japan? Where would you get garlic bread? Do they sell that at the store?
He has a greedy little baby, but I love him like that. I love him even if he's greedy.
Every day I give him a treat. They don't have garlic in Japan. They have garlic in Japan. But I've never, like, seen... Maybe there is, but I've never seen garlic bread. But little darling, every night I give him a treat when I'm going to bed. So he has to wait until I'm in my bed already, and then I will give him a treat. Which, after he successfully gets his treat, he will immediately leave and then go do something else. I'm like, you little shit. I'm giving you this to try and tempt you to cuddle with me, but you are acting as though you are entitled to it and as if it's something I'm not giving you out of the kindness of my heart. Exactly. He's like, well, I got the treat. Goodbye, mother. He does want his space, and that's fine. I give him his space. I don't force him to cuddle me or anything. I really hope little baby will make him jealous. Because little baby is a lot more. And it might just be because he's younger, but he's a lot more like, give me attention. And like, will like lay on me sometimes. So. I have hope maybe one of my cats will be maybe a little bit cuddly, but I'm not going to hope too much. Because then I'll get my hopes up. Come on. Come on. Break up. You hear that? That's something in my Parmesan grated cheese. Why is there like a clump that big that it sounds like it's going to tear apart the world? Yeah, he's very affectionate. I think it's partially because wasn't little darling like that cuddly? No. He is the least cuddly boy in the world. Which is crazy because the breeder I got him from was like, and granted, I don't mind, mind you, but he was like, oh, he had to be hand fed, so he's really used to and really good with human affection. But he's still a cat, you know. He wants his space, and he's surprisingly pretty independent. Like, he wants to be alone, he wants to go do this, he wants to go lay down over here, you know. But I wouldn't say that he ever really initiates contact that much. Except for if I just get home after I've been out. Sometimes I'll feel so bad because I know he probably just heard me coming, so he came to wait by the door. But a lot of times when I get home, he'll be like exactly outside the door where he was when I left. And I'm like, realistically, I know you didn't sit here and wait for me to come back in the time that I was gone. But what if he did? It's not creepy. It's cute. God, I love pasta. Pasta smothered in fake Parmesan, Parmesan cheese. I've debated getting a cat camera, but I don't know. I think little darling specifically is still not good with being home without a human. He's getting better though now that he has a little baby to play with. They just go play and then take a nap together. And cats here are brought up differently because the way that animals are considered in Japan is quite different to how we think of them in the States. Bro, what are you doing? He's crazy. He's losing his mind. How so? Well, it's common in Japan to keep your cat in a cage in the house. So don't get me wrong, there's definitely people who let their cats free roam the house, but there's also a lot of people who have like full-on cages. And when they leave, they'll put the cat in the cage. And mind you, usually they're not like the cages that you like put your dog in when you're like training them, right? It's like kind of a larger cage. Usually it has like a climbing area. It doesn't usually go ceiling to floor necessarily, but usually it's like a two-tiered cage. Yeah, I understand that it's just, you know, kind of the way things are. But I couldn't do that. Because cats, you know, they're domesticated, but at one point they were a wild animal that is like, what, used to like living in the desert and stuff. Hey, you have your own food, little baby. Eat your food. It's right here. They just both want to eat each other's food, and it's killing me. What am I supposed to do about this? What am I supposed to do? I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you. You get out of here. Physically chasing him away. See, it's my fault. I can't switch the bowls because I have a special fully ceramic bowl that is like separate from like the quote-unquote set for little darling, but then little baby actually has a full like three bowl plate set. You're a menace. You're a menace. I'm gonna move his food away. You can't eat it at all. Now what? Now what are you gonna do? Now what are you gonna do? Now you have to eat your own food. Do you get the cookies from Wicked? I did. I did get the Wicked cookies. I have them both. I'm so excited. I think I have all of the decorative pieces now too. I'm just waiting on one more thing. Because I'm trying to get all the decoration pieces for the limited island. Because my current build area, I don't really have a lot of space left. And don't get me wrong, I really like the Wicked stuff, but like, I don't know if because of how you buy the items, if I'm going to be able to like make an area that I'm happy with. So I'm just going to rely on like the like little smaller island and have that be my Wicked area. But the issue, yeah, is you have to actually get stamps instead of it being like you'd expect and want it to be, where you can like buy it with coins. Hey, I'm gonna get you. Leave it be. I'm gonna chase you. I can get you from there. You can't hide. See, I'm touching you. Oh, see, I got you. Oh, now what are you gonna do? Is Wicked a prequel to Wizard of Oz? It's a prequel, but part two also takes place during it takes place during it. So if you watch part two, it shows you the story of the Wizard of Oz from a different perspective. But it's like it's an alternate universe. I have so many things that look so delicious in my fridge. That's wonderful. Have you seen it? Okay, yes, I have. So I told you guys, but I had a friend who works at a movie theater. So I asked her for something unreasonable, and she was able to work it out for me, which is, if she recorded a show, obviously she would lose her job. So she brought me in to a screening where she got permission. She bought two tickets. I bought the two tickets actually, but, and she let me watch from her phone. So it wasn't the peak movie theater experience. But I'll take it, because now I don't have to worry about spoilers, and that I couldn't wait. Yeah, it was really wonderful, so I'm really happy. I'm really happy it worked out. So anyway, what did I think of Wicked? Wicked Part 2? It's a good question. It's a good question. Is it not going to stream in JP? Not until March, I believe. I'm going to buy it when it comes on to streaming. And I'm also going to go see it in theaters when it comes out. Was the video quality good? No. It's from a phone. It's from my friend's phone, so not really. Okay. Okay. insects. I got a toss. My garbage. And then, when I have a little bit of yogurt left that I want to eat, it's unsweetened, so I'm going to put in some Manuka honey. Grab a spoon and just mix that up. And I have some fruits I bought. Which I will cut up and put in after I rinse them off. I have kiwi, I have strawberries, and I have blueberries. I think I'll do blueberry and kiwi. If I can open the blueberry container. Ah! I lost the blueberry. In the sink now. It's just where it's not, it's just where it's gonna be. Okay. But yeah, Wicked Part 2. How to articulate how this movie made me feel. I have a lot. So here's the context. I grew up on the Wicked soundtrack. And I didn't like all of the songs. So some of them I probably only heard once. And then some of them I've heard like a million times. So As Long As You're Mine, I'm going to be real. I had no memory. I had no recollection. I'm sure I've heard it before. But I have no recollection of ever hearing that song in my life. And keep in mind, I knew some of this stuff was going to happen. It's not like I'm sitting here and I was like, oh, it was so surprising to me. I knew the whole plot story, but somehow, one thing I didn't know is the cattiness that happens between Elphaba and Galinda. Specifically from Elphaba, when Fiero picks her at the end, and I didn't like the vibes. I really didn't like it at all. The vibes of that. When so this is after Nessa Rose, you know, does the thing. And Elphaba goes, and Galinda is there, and she's complaining because she's like, as you guys know, Nessa Rose is the Wicked Witch of the East. Who gets crushed by Dorothy's house. This is not a spoiler from Wicked. This is a spoiler from The Wizard of Oz. So then Galinda proceeds to give the shoes that were on Nessa Rose's feet to Dorothy. And tells her to go see the wizard. You know, typical Galinda things. And somewhere in this movie, Fiero, I need to go all the way back. This is major Wicked Part 2 spoilers. So just a warning. So during the beginning of the movie, it opens up with Galinda proposing to her boyfriend of multiple years. Her boyfriend of multiple years, Fiero. And they become fiancé. He accepts. He's not in any situation where he has to accept. He willingly accepts this, okay? He says yes. And she even asks, she's like, will it make you happy? And he says, I'm always happy. And accepts the proposal. The moment they find Elphaba, he runs away with her. And abandons Galinda. And yes, I get it. Oh, from the beginning, he hasn't been able to stop thinking about her. He's loved her from the beginning. But here's where my issue comes in. No one was forcing him to date Galinda. No one was forcing him to do that. There was no reason, apart from for him to also climb in terms of ranks of power, for him to date Galinda. Because Galinda kind of becomes a big figurehead for Oz in the second. Madame Warrable might still be bossing her around, but technically speaking, in terms of the people especially, Galinda is definitely the one who's more popular. And that's what she succeeds at. So Madame Warrable, she's kind of there. But, you know, like, she still has power over Galinda, but technically speaking, in terms of public perception, Galinda is more powerful than Madame Warrable. She has more public pull than her, if that makes sense. So, meaning, Fiero took advantage of that and their relationship to try and find Alphaba. Meaning, again, for multiple years, he led Galinda on to believe that he was happy with her and that he loved her with the sole intent of finding and running away with another woman. He didn't do it for clout. He did it for his love, which you could say is arguably romantic. But I think it's arguably scummy. And I didn't know that about Fiero. I didn't know, like, I kind of knew to an extent, but I thought it was more of a back and forth where, like, he actually did love Galinda, but it doesn't seem that way. It seems like he really did just love Alphaba and, you know, was just hanging out with Galinda because she was there. So, after Galinda gives away the shoes, Alphaba is like, those weren't yours to give away. And she kind of makes a snide comment being like, oh, well, I don't remember the exact quote, but she was like, yeah, like, something about taking things that aren't theirs. Something about, like, there's a lot of people taking things that aren't theirs, obviously alluding to the fact that Alphaba knew that Glinda was literally about to get married to Fiero. And then he ran off. Like, literally, it's at their wedding. It's at their wedding that this happens, that he leaves Galinda for Alphaba. At their wedding! At their wedding! So, instead of Alphaba having any sort of semblance of understanding or even pity for her friend, Over a man? Are you serious? Like, you guys have such a special connection, and you're gonna rub in her face and be like, he chose me, Galinda. He loved me. He never loved you. I think she literally said that. He never loved you. He always wanted me, and you just can't deal with that fact. And I'm like, girly pop? Girly pop? She's not! What? You're a homewrecker! I love you, Alphaba, but queen? You just homewrecked, and now instead of feeling any sort of sympathy, you're gonna rub into the fact that her husband-to-be left her at the altar for you? And to me, it just made Alphaba a way less sympathetic character. Because Alphaba is very sympathetic throughout the beginning. But in part two, she just starts doing shit that's so fucking stupid. Like, girly pop is making the dumbest decisions imaginable. The dumbest. Well, she's the evil witch, right? But that's the whole point of Wicked, is that she's not actually evil. The higher ups in Oz are just manipulating the situation to make her seem evil. So... that alone was just, like, kind of a lot for me. And not in a good way. It was getting to the time when no one believed her, so she was getting more and more selfish. Yeah, and I understand that, but it was just weird. Because then after that point, I get it. Elphaba's accepted that she's like, I can't do anything. I can no longer help my cause because, like, literally just no one trusts me, and the people of Oz don't want to trust me, so they never will. And I get that. I truly do. I get that. But so... instead of fighting for her cause, she goes to Glinda and basically says, yeah, you were right not to get on the broom. Because now, I thought I was unlimited, and I thought together, if we were doing this together, we'd be unlimited, but I realize I am limited. But look at you. You can do all I couldn't do. Because you're in a position of power, so save the animals. Anyway, it's time for me to die. Goodbye. Goodbye. I'm gonna go get melted now. And she gives Glinda the grimoire. But the thing that made me the most annoyed is, again, all of this starts to happen in this weird way after Fiero chooses her. She high-key gives up on her cause and is only really worried about Fiero at this point. She doesn't... it's not that she doesn't care, but, like, publicly throughout the musical, she doesn't seem to care about the animals. Please don't tell me how it ends. I'm gonna need you to mute. I'm gonna talk about it. I'm sorry. The musical has been out for over 20 years. I can't... it... even if the movie's new, it's the same as the musical. I don't know what to tell you. So, just, like, mute for, like, a few minutes. So, at the very end, again, I'm gonna spoil it. I'm gonna spoil it. If you don't want to hear it, it's no longer my responsibility if you get spoiled. So, Elphaba didn't actually die. In the books, she does. In the books, she's actually allergic to water, but that is something they cut out for the movie. And the musical in general. And so Elphaba pretends to get melted. They have a trap door, and she hides in it. Fiero is alive. He's been turned into the scarecrow by her. And he comes to get her. He comes to retrieve her when it's, quote-unquote, safe for her to come out. And they run away together into the waste. Leaving, again, Glinda, who thinks her best friend is dead, to handle all of the issues and fix all of the socio... like, everything. To fix everything in Oz. They leave her to solve literally everything while they go run away to live in the fucking waste. And it's just weird to me because I saw so many things in part one about people like demonizing Glinda and saying how she's like a bad person because she doesn't do the right thing. And like because they're like, well, the right thing would be going away with Elphaba. Because you have to agree, what's going on is terrible. And it's like, yes, what's going on is terrible. But these are the people in ultimate power. These are the people you're standing up against are the people in ultimate power. Galinda makes the decision, which is still a difficult decision for her. You guys are making me so mad. You guys better stop eating each other's food or I'm going to lose my mind. Oh my god. They need to be stopped. Sorry. So, Galinda's like, we can't stop this and I'm not going to try. Because I'm going to lose all of the power that I do have. She literally has a whole song about what Galinda believes her power to be, which is popularity. That's what she thinks gives her power, is being popular, and it's something she's very good at. Is getting to people to like her. She knows immediately if she runs away that the only thing that she perceives as giving her power will no longer be her power anymore, and therefore she's like, well, I'll have nothing. Because what am I supposed to have if I don't have my popularity? Because it's not that she's being fake. It's true. Galinda doesn't have any magic. She can't fly. She can't do any of this awesome stuff that Alphaba's doing. Her only talent is that people really tend to like her and give her the benefit of the doubt for pretty much everything. And just kind of believe the things that she says. Yeah, she's really, when it comes to that, she's really good at it. So, no matter how you look at it, she would not have gotten on that broom. Because, and even if she would have, then things just would have arguably have been worse. For Oz, because nothing would have ever gotten solved, because what's supposed to happen? But anyway, at the ending, she finds out the truth about the wizard, sends him away, and is like, you leave Oz and you leave Oz now, and do not come back. And then she locks up Madame Morrible because she's like, well, the only reason that you were even had any power is because you were the wizard's right-hand man. But technically, in public opinion, I'm in power now. So I'm going to lock you up in jail, bitch. Say goodbye. And locks her up. And then, this is in No One Mourns the Wicked, we go back to that song. She ends she basically is like, all of us should exist together in Oz, including the animals, and the animals are able to come out, and she's like, treat them with respect too, okay? Basically. And that's kind of how it ends. I think there's something that probably only happened in the movie, so I won't share that one. Just to be safe, but that's how the movie basically ends. And so I'm like, wait. So Alphaba abandoned Galinda. Made her pick up her cause. But let's be honest, Galinda probably didn't care that much about, apart from the fact that Alphaba cared about it. Because that's the whole point, is Galinda is kind of a, as much as we love her, a selfish person. She wants what she wants, and she'll do the things that she needs to achieve those things. So it does become a plot point that once she really cares about Alphaba, she really does care about her cons. But technically speaking, Galinda, as she was naturally, would not have really cared about it. So Alphaba abandons her cause, gives it to Galinda, says, this is your problem now, dies, and then runs off with a man. She runs off with a man. She abandons her cause. She doesn't think of any, there's no other opportunity, there's no other thought process apart from, okay, well, Galinda now has absolute power over Oz. She's effectively in the wizard's position. Time for me to disappear in the woods, you know? Sounds like a good time to fake my death. So I can go live in a secret castle in the desert with Fiero. Because I understand why it's the way it is because of the book and because the musical's been that way. But to me, the most emotional and the best part of Wicked, period, is the connection between Galinda and Elphaba. And they know that, too. They know that, too. They literally have the song for good. But the fact that the words ring true, it well may be that we'll never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, one of the saddest fucking lyrics ever, by the way. When I think about it too hard, I want to die. It's such a sad, no, she doesn't die in the musical either. That's the thing. She doesn't die in the musical ever. It's not a change they made just for the movie. She only has ever died in the book. And the actual Wizard of Oz. But it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Yeah. So I'm like, it just makes me feel some type of way. Like, I love it. It was good. It was a good experience. Wicked One, the Wicked Part One was the better movie. And though Wicked Part Two was fine, I felt like it did not live up to the expectation. Because here's the thing. If you're actually seeing Wicked the Musical, you don't have to wait a year for Act Two. Act Two just comes. And so you don't have to sit with it for a year. You know, you just watch it. And you get the experience of the musical. All at the same time. So you immediately get to see Elphaba kind of have this fall of character. If you only really listen to the soundtrack, chances are you just listen to Defying Gravity, which is a banger. It's one of the bangers of all time when it comes to musical theater music, and for good reason. Yeah, and even in the musical, Act Two, because again, I just feel like the characters have this really incredible build-up, but the reality is that this is Wizard of Oz fan fiction. So no matter what, because it is fan fiction of the Wizard of Oz and not its own unique story, it has to follow what happened in the Wizard of Oz to an extent. It has to follow that plot point. But the story shined best when it was not telling the story of the Wizard of Oz. Unfortunately, the writer was like, oh my god, I need to write this college AU of Galinda and Elphaba. What if they were friends? And he's like, fuck, well, now I need to show the future and explain it and how, like, this affected everything. Fuck. So part one ends up having a lot of freedom to tell the story however it wants. As to where part two has to go this way. And yeah, I feel like exactly. Those restrictions really weigh it down. Well, technically speaking, they did kind of go a different route. Because they made it so she didn't die. As to where in The Wizard of Oz, she definitely died. She definitely did not survive that. She melted on the spot. I love yogurt. So yeah, anyway, my point is, do I think it's bad? Absolutely not. But was I really disappointed with some parts? Yes, absolutely. Because again, I did not like seeing my girl Galinda and my girl Alphaba fight over Fiero, who at this point in the story has just shown that he helped Alphaba once in school, and now he is a cheating asshole. And again, I know the whole point is supposed to be, oh, well, he loved her the whole time, but I'm like, that still doesn't excuse the fact that Galinda did genuinely really love and want to be in a relationship with Fiero, and he gave that to her, but it was all fake. So he basically led her on and used her, and we're just gonna ignore that and be like, yes, Fiero picked Alphaba. Yeah, so exactly. Suddenly fighting over a man was an odd choice because that didn't need to be there. I'm just gonna share my opinion. That didn't need to be there at all. Was a very strange decision that I didn't like. I didn't appreciate it. I still don't appreciate it. And it really quite upset me, honestly. Because you could have done anything. You could have done anything. But instead, you decide to have everyone have a forced relationship with the most pop one of the most popular, arguably, I would say, the best character in the original Wizard of Oz. Because let's be honest, if you watch The Wizard of Oz, who's the character who steals your heart? Who's the character whose song you remember? There's only one song I remember from The Wizard of Oz, apart from Over the Rainbow. And it is, I would while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain in my head. I'd be thinking, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, if I only had a brain. It's the only one I remember apart from Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Who I know the Cowardly Lion is there, but who remembers? Does he have a song? I'm sure he does. I don't remember any of it. But I remember If I Only Had a Brain. I don't remember if the Tin Man has a song. I'm sure he does. Couldn't tell you what it is. Couldn't tell you how it goes. But you know what I do remember? If I Only Had a Brain by the lovable Scarecrow, who even Dorothy says, oh, and Scarecrow, I'm gonna miss you most of all. It's great. It's great. So again, I'm just annoyed about the way that it went. About the way that it went. You know what I mean? Because it's like they took the Scarecrow and they're like, okay, he's the best character, so we need to make him a love interest somehow for both girls. How do we make him a love interest for both girls?
Oh, my little baby.
So it's just, it's, my point is, it was a decision. It was a decision that was made. It was a decision that was made. And then, you know, I don't know. 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 I feel like so many people were hating on Galinda. And I get it, 'cause she's not supposed to be per se the good guy. It's not like there's really any good or bad guys in Wicked, save for Madame Morrible and the wizard, who I would say are very, very bad, are very, very bad. But like everyone else is kind of like there's a bit of moral ambiguity. Like you could say Alphaba is a good guy, but then you also have to say Galinda is a good guy. The Tin Man's mad face was one of the peak moments of the movie for me. I really wish they had picked a stronger singer for Nessa Rose, because her whole song, Wicked Witch of the Wicked Witch of the East, can be really, really, like, I've heard crazy vocalists sing that part and absolutely just, like, blow it out of the water. That makes that whole entire part one of the best parts of the musical for me in some variations where I've watched it. But I felt this way in part one, and sadly my fears were confirmed. I was like, maybe she's a crazy vocalist. And, like, it just didn't really come out in part one, but maybe she's a crazy vocalist, because this is a really crazy, like, part to play. I don't know if they realized that when they cast her, but it's a really crazy part. But the vocalist was not she's not a strong vocalist, and she did a serviceable job, like, no hate, of course, but she was not able, in my opinion, to reach the level of which needed to be hit. Yeah, I love Glinda. She's the hero of the story, both in universe, where all Oz thinks so, and in Wicked itself, she is the one that embraces all the responsibility at the end. Exactly. Exactly. That's the other thing that gets me. So many people are hating Glinda and being like, look at her, she didn't go with Alphaba, she's a bad person. And I'm like, she's the only person who took any responsibility for anything at the end. She had to take responsibility for everyone's mistakes, even the mistakes that weren't her mistakes. She had to take responsibility for them. And you're saying that what? It is just very strange, is all I'm trying to say. It was very strange to me. It was a decision that was made. Yeah, she had to clean everything up, and she did it. And she didn't just do it because it was the right thing to do, but she did it out of love and respect for Alphaba, her friend, who she thinks is dead. No, Glinda didn't do what she could to it. She thinks Alphaba is dead. Is it at least a happy ending with her? No, because at this point in the story, what would have made her happy has changed. She is already at the peak, and she realizes she's not happy. She feels lonely. Even in the Cookie Ring Kingdom collab, they mention that she's like, she literally has a line that says, "And I've had so many friends, but only one that mattered." And she's talking about Alphaba. So in her whole life, no matter what any relationship was, not her relationship with Fiero, not her relationship with her parents, not her relationship with anything, she thinks that the most important relationship to her was this relationship she had for a few months with a girl in college. Even after years, even after she has gotten everything, she's at the top of the world. She is now basically in the wizard's place, and she still can't stop thinking about this girl that she knew for a few months in college. She loves her! She loves her! And she abandoned her for Fiero! Yeah, if that's not Yuri, it's Yuri pining, and it's crazy. It's just so... Because again, she's literally, like, my friend is dead, so I have to honor her memory and do everything for her. She knows Fiero's probably dead. She's not doing any of this for him. She doesn't care that Fiero is probably dead. She doesn't give a shit. She couldn't care less. She's like, whatever. It's fine. Who even cares at this point about Fiero? He left me for Alphaba, and you know what? Fine. And meanwhile, Alphaba's like, I got the man. And I'm like, are you joking? Like, are you really mad at your friend for being mad that her boyfriend of multiple years through all of college and now, like, quite a bit of adulthood too, probably, has left her unceremoniously for you? Oh. My cats are playing. And little darling got thrown on his ass. He made a loud rah! Because he was so surprised. They're fighting. They're fighting. Yeah, so it's like at the end, I can't help but like look at Elphaba and still think she's a fantastic character, obviously. But I'm also like, you bitch. You're an asshole. Wait a minute. You're a bitch. You're a bitch. You touted all this stuff about like, oh, you have to do the right thing. Then she's like, actually, I have Fiero, so I'm gonna go. I mean, I kind of get it, because we see her be like, no good deed goes unpunished. She's like, I'm done doing good things, because you know what? Literally no one cares. If I do something good, they're gonna interpret it badly, so I give up. But how is your interpretation that that is the right thing to do? Like, it definitely makes her, like, sympathetic and, like, multifaceted. But I'm also, again, I'm just kind of sitting there, like, and I'm like, but she, at that moment, to me, I'm like, you cease to be the hero of the story when you decide to give up on your cause. Because what are you talking about? What happened to defying gravity? What happened to that? Again, I get it. It's been literal, like years at this point. But yeah, she just doesn't gaff anymore. She's like, the animals abandoned me. Galinda's offering to help me, but I don't want her to, because now I realize that Galinda's actually way more powerful than me and can probably do what I was trying to do. So I have a better plan. Let's fake my death and then put all of this on Galinda and make Galinda handle it. Yeah, exactly. Is Galinda feels like she's the wicked one and no one mourns the wicked. She feels like she's the bad one in the story. The wicked die alone after all and she's alone. Exactly. And I hate that shit. I'm like, you've got to be joking. You've got to be joking right now. You've got to be joking. She's singing about herself and no one mourns the wicked. Because everyone she cares about in her mind is dead. Everyone is dead. And she feels she's mourning Elphaba, so Elphaba couldn't be wicked because someone is mourning her, and that is Galinda. Oh, yeah. I don't know. It just, I get what they were going for too, but it ends up making Elphaba look bad in my mind, and for a character. And I get it in the original musical, the like actual stage show. You just don't have time to tell the story that they wanted to tell. But there's no excuse here in a blockbuster movie where you have an endless amount of time to generate the story. They took like 20 years or so for this adaption. Like, we've been waiting for Wicked for a long time. Part one of Wicked... You know how long part one of Wicked was? That shit was like 3 hours almost. You could have fixed many of the plot points that were an issue. You could have fixed them. You could have rewritten them. You could have done them a different way so that the story was able to make more sense and to have more room. But it feels so strange because it feels like... It didn't have, like, I feel like that movie could have been the same length as part one to truly, like, be able to, like, be fleshed out. But it felt like they still just, like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to describe it, you know? Wait one sec. I'm really angry right now. Hello? I'm so upset. Okay, wait. Sorry. There's this Cooking from Kingdom game that's like a little side game, and I thought that how it worked was I was going to keep all my upgrades from season 1 for season 2 because it only lasts a few days, the event. So I was like, "Oh, it's just like one of those like limited time events." No, I was wrong. I lost everything. So I spent last night grinding a ton so that I could just immediately get all the season 2 upgrades, but turns out it undoes all of your progress. I don't want to play this. I don't want to play this anymore. I don't want to play this minigame anymore. Now I'm really upset. I'm really upset now. I don't want to play this minigame anymore. Sorry, Cookie Run Kingdom. I'll do one of your other millions of things that you have to do and not that minigame. I'm not doing that. No, thank you. Yeah, I maxed everything. I maxed it all in one day, and I was like, this is awesome. I can't wait to max Season 2 immediately because of how many things I have. Especially Season 2 barely unlocks anything. If I lose all my my benefits, then what's the point? Because Season 2, I was looking through to see, like, oh, what's the new stuff for Season 2? There's, like, nothing. There's nothing good. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You should delete the gacha games off your phone. Hey. Hey now, that's too... You're doing too much. Like, I guess my actual pickaxe is still higher level. And now the stuff is more inexpensive to level it. But the fact they get rid of everything that you had and you have to re-get all the upgrades is just brutal. That's just brutal, man. Like, are you messing with me? Are you joking? I don't want to do this. Gacha is love. I guess I still have to play it either way, though, because if I want to beset them for Season 3 and 4, which do... I don't know. I'm sad. I didn't realize I was going to lose everything. Why did I bother maxing everything out the first time? If I was just going to lose it all. When will Season 3 release? In 6 days. I've got 6 days. Everyone deserves a chance to fly. And if I'm flying solo, at least I'm flying free. To those who ground me, take a message back from me. Tell them hi. I'm defying gravity. I'm flying high, defying gravity. And soon I'll match them in renown. And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me down. On. It's so epic! It's so epic for what happens in part two! Are you messing with me? Oh my god, sorry. I feel... For Good is one of the best songs in Wicked and is so incredible. I love For Good. I feel like it's the emotional peak of Wicked because you see these women who love each other so much. But can't be together because one of them is about to fake her own death and run away into the woods with a man. And the other desperately wants to save her. But they're both acutely aware of that if that happens, they will both lose everything. So. It's fine. It's fine. I guess, sorry, now I'm just ranting about Wicked instead of waking up together. This is our breakfast conversation. I just really wish that they had given them more room. Because that's what I was expecting from Wicked Part 2, since it was a movie, and again, since we've been waiting, like, almost, or if not 2 decades for... this to be a movie. Because I remember when it was still on Broadway and they were like, they're gonna make a movie, and I was like, oh, that's great, because then they can still use the original actors, because all of them are still on Broadway, all of them are still, like, active and, like, on Broadway, so that's fantastic. That's great news. That's amazing news. I'm so happy to hear that. But then they're just like, no, actually, we lied, actually. That's not, the movie is never coming. And everyone's like, wait, no, I need the, you don't understand. I need this movie. You don't understand. If I don't get this movie, I'm going to die a terrible death. I need this movie. Please give me this movie. I need this movie. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm like, I need this. I need it. That's how I felt. Because I was like, the only way I'm going to see Wicked is if it comes out as a movie. And even though that obviously changed at a point, I just still was like, no, I'm only going to watch it when it becomes a movie. Even though I've already heard the soundtrack. But somehow I was still, they still let me down. They brought me down. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You know? Like, how could this happen to me? I made my mistakes. I just wanna scream. Is there a part three? No! Well, okay, here's the thing. So there are books. So there's Wicked books, and there's a lot of books for Wicked. So if you really want to, you can go read them. However, the contents of Wicked is the contents of the first book. So you can't, it's not that you can't enjoy Wicked. But Wicked Part 2, so it's kind of like the book is like the backs, it gives some backstory to like set the world, and then it tells the story of what happened, but then it's right back into AU territory. Okay, this guy, whoever wrote this, starts going and telling his AU story, where which is crazy, by the way. I haven't read it, but it doesn't expand. Alphaba is no longer the main character, because in the books she does not survive. In the books, it is just like the Wizard of Oz movie. She's dead. She didn't run away. However, she had a son, presumably with Fiero, at some point during all of this. At some point during all of this, she has a son with Fiero. And this son becomes the main character. It's not Galinda. It's not Alphaba. The main character becomes Alphaba's weird son. And there's implications that's like, oh, maybe Alphaba is alive, but I don't know if it's ever confirmed. I don't know. I haven't read these books. But so it becomes this crazy AU about the son of the Scarecrow and the Wicked Witch of the West and his life. And it's weird. The only things I've generally heard about it is, yeah, you really don't read the books. They're something else completely. They're not like the musical. The books are based on the Wizard of Oz, but not really. Think of the books, or the musical is the same way with the books. They're not really, they're kind of based, they're inspired by the books. But it's hard to say that they're based on the books, because the books are doing a lot. They're doing a lot, and things make more sense in the books, but at the same time, they're also more nonsensical. I don't know how else to describe it. The books are something. They're definitely one of the things of all time. If you decide to read the books, but you should, if that's your type of thing, you know, you should read them. They're fun, I think. I don't know. I haven't read them, but it's very fan fiction-y. So my point is, it is what it is, but, the actual story of Alphaba and Galinda kind of ends there. Because I think canonically in the Wicked universe, Galinda dies sad and alone. Like, I think that's literally like how her story ends. Like, she doesn't ever find out that Alphaba might maybe be alive. She doesn't find out that she has a son, to my knowledge. She dies lonesome and alone, thinking all of her life that she was actually the bad guy. And that like everyone she cares about is dead, and that it's kind of her fault. That's literally how her quote-unquote best friend lets her live the rest of her life. I feel like Tyra Banks. I feel like Tyra Banks. When she's like, we were all rooting for you. We were rooting for you. That's how I feel. That's genuinely how I feel with Wicked. Because we were rooting for Alphaba. When she sang those last notes of Defying Gravity, we were all on her side. So tell me how I come out of the second movie going, Alfie, what the fuck is your problem? I shouldn't come out of the movie feeling like that. I shouldn't come out of the movie feeling like that about who is technically the main protagonist. Anyway, sorry, this space is going on too long. I don't know why I'm still doing a Twitter space. I'm washing my sheets. I ate breakfast. We woke up together. I'm going to play just a little bit of Cookie Run Kingdom, and then I'm going to get to doing my to-do list. Because yesterday, I went out and I had a good time with some friends. So, but while I was out, I got sent some stuff that I need to do for work. Which is good. I love getting work stuff while I'm out. But in order to not let it pile up, it's imperative that I do it today. Because tonight, I actually have plans, which you will find out what I was doing later. You'll find out what my plans were tonight, probably tomorrow at some point. So, unless the person has already told you, which might have happened. Yay! So, but yeah. So, life is good. Totally. Life is so good. I'm not angry about Wicked. Who even gaffs? Not me. I've never gaffed about Wicked in my life. Why would I gaff? Huh? Why would it negatively affect me? I'm not negatively affected by the Wicked movie. That's not me. Does that sound like me? That's not me. Anyway, thank you so much. Oh, Wawa might have talked about it. Oh, okay, then yes. Wawa is involved. Wawa is involved. We're going to be having a fun time tonight, so look forward to hearing about it. But hearing about it, we're not doing a stream. She's tired. I'm tired. I'm going to try to stream tomorrow, though, but it depends on whenever she heads out. So we'll see. Yes, Kiara is coming to meet my cats. So we're going to have a good time. And again, I will tell you about it after the fact. But yes, thank you guys so much for joining me today for this random Twitter space. Sorry for not streaming on YouTube. I didn't feel like I was going to be able to. And I feel like now it's a little too late. I don't like streaming too late, if I can help it. Like, if I'm already streaming and we're doing something like Silent Hill F, where I'm just, like, playing really, like, late into the day, that's kind of something else, you know. But anyway, again, thank you all so much for coming. I hope you had a good time in this long ass Twitter space, and I hope you all have a lovely day and or night. So thank you so much, and I will see you all next time. Bye, darlings.